Today we're talking about the value of friendship. The value of friendship. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, this is really what I want you to take home. That doesn't mean you can go eat after you hear it. You have to sit and listen for just a few minutes. But life really is meaningless unless it's shared. Life really is meaningless unless it's shared. The lesson today comes from one of the wisest men that's ever lived in history. One of the things when God approached King Solomon and said, how can I bless you? He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for lots of friends. He asked for wisdom. And God, he says, God, I need your help in leading these people that you have put under my charge. And God honored that. And God said, you have chosen so wisely that I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you wealth and all the stuff that goes along with it because you asked for wisdom. So today, I want to just encourage you, if you need wisdom from the Lord, ask of it. And God said He will give it to you liberally. He'll give it to you if you just believe that He'll send it to you. And I promise you, He will. So this lesson comes from this really wise guy. And we would do, and not wise guy as in, my friend Chris up here, wise, not wise guys in Brooklyn, but wise guys and really smart. And we would do well to listen to the wisdom that God gives us today in friendships. Sometimes we face challenges in life, don't we? Sometimes we face difficulties. We face joys that we want to share. Things that we go through. I remember when my firstborn was born, Jason was born, and we had this boy. We wanted to share it, and we got all kinds of announcements, and we had a party and a baby shower, all the stuff that goes along with it, and we took all these pictures to remember him by that we could share, and we sent pictures to everyone. And then our second one came along, and just, we took a couple pictures, and we told a few people. And then our third one came along, and, well, he's here now. And we love him. We love him all the same. But, we need people to share life with, don't we? Those moments, those things, when in a wedding that I was attending once, they said, joys are, when we share in the joys of life and we have people to share them with, those joys are doubled. But the same thing is true, similar is true when we share sorrows. When we have friends, when we have people around us that we can share life with, those sorrows are halved. They're cut in half or more because people can carry that burden. They can multiply the joy, but they cut in half those times that we're going through that are painful, that we need support in. And we got to make friends before we need that, don't we? So Solomon shares with us here in this passage in Ecclesiastes 4, starting at verse 8. If I can get to the right page in my Bible, we'll be good. He said, there was a man all alone. If you have a Bible, just mark that all alone, because that you can tell right away this isn't going to be good. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Aren't you just so glad you came to church for that encouraging word this morning? But if we really break this down, he's got some instructions that are going to follow that'll build us back up again. But we got to know the problem before we can find the solution, don't we? This man was all alone. He didn't take the time to invest in friendships. He didn't take the time to make sure he had people to share life with. And if you look at all these things, the all alone, he had neither brother nor son. He didn't invest in his family. He enjoyed his work, I guess, a little bit, but he spent a lot of time in his work, which isn't a bad thing. It's much worse to be lazy, right? That's not a good thing either. But this guy, I guess, spent a lot of time at the office, a lot of time at the corporation. One thing, I've been to a lot of people that have been passing away or dying away, and on their deathbed, not one person yet has said, man, Pastor, if I could have only spent more time in the corporation. It's never happened. Maybe they worked a lot, but they lots of times they'll say, I should have spent more time with my family. I should have spent more time with my friendships. I should have spent more time with people. That happens all the time. I should have spent more time with the Lord. That happens probably more than anything. So here we have friendships. We have this guy who was a hard worker. His eyes were not hit with his wealth. I used to be enamored with Rockefeller, John Davis and Rockefeller, the world's first billionaire after Solomon. Well, we could talk about that, but he was the world's first billionaire, an oil tycoon. And on his deathbed, hours, minutes before he died, he was wheeling and dealing, trying to close some deals and stuff. And there's just a sadness to that can creep into our life. And this man was similar to that. For whom am I toiling, he asked. Why am I working so hard? Why am I depriving myself of all enjoyment in life? What does all of that have in common with each other? When you read through that, what does that have in common? What it has in common is, who are you sharing life with? Who are you sharing your life with? Now, this passage, this whole study today, this whole sermon, this message, this talk could be about your wife or your husband, your the person that you're sharing life with. And praise God if you have a best friend like I do. Kim and I are so close in our relationship. We can count on two hands now how many times we've fought. I'm just kidding. But we really don't fight. We just don't fight very much. And maybe you have that relationship, and praise God for that. But in addition to that relationship, in addition to that person that's intimate with you, you need friendships. You need people in addition to that. Guys, you need guy friends that you can just get real with and hang out with and share life with. That they can share life with you. That you can engage with each other. Ladies, you know what it is to have friendships around you. And you need to have those friendships and engage those friendships and invest in those friendships. That's what was missing in this man's life. And it was a sad thing because he had acquired a lot of stuff. He had made incredible money. He had a great company and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with it. But what is it? He didn't even have a son or a brother to share it with because he had invested so much in his work. He had gotten so sidetracked with one thing that he lost balance in other areas. So today, Solomon gives us the answer, starting in verse 9 after he poses the problem, gets our attention with what is the conflict here that we're dealing with. He starts out verse 9 with this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. The first note I put here is, a real friend is a good investment. A real friend is a good investment. You get a good return on your friendship. When you invest in people, Zig Ziglar used to say, he's passed away now, he's a motivational speaker, if you don't know who that is, said if you help enough other people in life get what they want, you can get what you want in life. And it's so true. If we invest in other people, if we will pour ourselves into other people, if we will mentor someone, if we'll develop friendships with people, if we'll invest in people's lives, there's great returns for that. There's great returns for that. And some of us are introverts. And you're looking at me like, there is no way. I'm good just being a home on the couch potato or the clicker. I'm good with that. Well, let me tell you what. There will come a day when you'll wish that you had invested. And here's the challenge today. Let's be about investing in other people's lives. Let's be friends. And that's what Solomon says. Here's some benefits. Here's some returns from our investment. And he continues down. The first return is found in verse 10. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. That's a great thing, isn't it? If you fall down, you'll have a friend there, a buddy, to help up. But you know what else? This goes both ways. This is a two-way street. This whole message today is a two-way street. If your friend falls down, you will be there to help him up. Right? Somebody say, hey, we're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Something. Okay, good. Amen. All right. This is a dialogue here today. So if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. That's who we should pity in life, isn't it? You ever visited someone who's all kinds of shut up in their house and they haven't been out in a while? I've known people like that. And those are the people to pity. They don't have that interchange. They don't have that social network. They don't have anybody to share life with. They fall down. Sometimes no one knows. And I'm not talking about physically, although that would be a help. But how about emotionally? We fall down, our life crumbles, we have a catastrophe, we get a bad report from the doctor, we have a fight with our spouse, we have a problem with our children, we need someone to talk to about a grandchild that's wayward, whatever the situation, we need someone to help us up, we need someone to like recharge our batteries, right? We need that in our lives, and we have to invest in friendships to have that, but it's a two-way street. We have to be about helping others up. We need to be about going the extra mile when someone needs help today. A lot of this stuff your mama has already told you, so I'm just a reminder today. But we need to invest in friendships. And that's the next point. Help helps you when you're down. A real friend helps you when you're down. It's the friend that will help you with that 2 a.m. wake-up call. You know, and I'm not talking the White House wake-up call. I'm talking about a friend that will call you, right? I'm talking about somebody that you would pick up that phone for. And you know, you'll know a good friend when you know that they're getting dressed as they're taking the call, right? They don't have to say, you don't have to talk them into coming. You don't have to, hey, sell them on the fact that you need help. They just get dressed as the phone rings and they're here. They're already there. They're there to help you. That's a good friend. Look at verse 11. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how will one keep warm alone? Now, this is a metaphor, sort of. This is an analogy here. God is certainly speaking to us through King Solomon about, you know, we get stranded somewhere. We need somebody to help us keep us warm. That may be true. But again, this is talking about the emotional level. This is talking about a warm friendship, someone that you've bonded with, someone that will keep you warm during those times in life that are chilly, chilly because of the stuff that's happening around you. Somebody you can call. I have a friend in Atlanta that I can call any time of the day, and he would drop everything he's doing. He's got a successful business, and he would fly up here to counsel me through something if I needed him that badly. We have that camaraderie, and vice versa. I would go to him if he needed me. We've built that sort of relationship, and that's what it's talking about here, keeping each other warm in those times. Verse 12, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. The point there is a real friend will fight for you. A real friend will fight for you. You know, the thing that came to my mind immediately as I read that is, protect me. Protect me. A real friend will protect me. Will protect my reputation around the community. Will step up and say, hey, do you know, two people are talking, two people are doing something, you know, maybe they shouldn't be talking about anybody. And they'll walk up and they'll, instead of engaging it, they'll, hey, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like Martin. That doesn't sound like South Bay Bible Church. That doesn't sound like his character. Maybe we should go to him right now and ask him what's up with this. Maybe there's an explanation. Maybe you didn't see, you thought you saw. How many of you have ever had that happen to you? You thought you saw something and it wasn't really the way it was when it came out? That you're all going, yeah, that's happened. Because that happens in life, doesn't it? Well, we need to have a real friend. We need to not only have that protection sometimes, people that will go to bat with us, like an advocate, like a good attorney will fight for you in court, but we need to be that for other people, don't we? Again, the two-way street. When we have friends that we need to protect them. We need to challenge people and encourage them to look beyond what may be apparent, because maybe there's something beyond that we haven't seen. And then Solomon says the next phrase, a cord of three is not quickly broken. Now we intuitively know what that means, but I want to point out something interesting in the text here today. This whole time, this wise king who's telling us this stuff about friendships is talking about two people. Have you caught that? We haven't mentioned three yet. And then in this verse, in this last little verse here, in this last sentence of this last little verse here, he mentions three. What is up with that? You see, in our marriage, we have a wife and we have a husband. And honestly, without another strand in that marriage, we wouldn't do too well. We would constantly be dealing with our own stuff. And God knew that there would have to be another person. King Solomon knew that there has to be another person. So look at the last point here in your sermon notes. It says, a real friend will introduce you to your best friend. We sang about this best friend today. Today, God, it says in the Bible, today, in the New Testament, when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, He says, I don't treat you, I don't talk to you as servants anymore. I no longer call you servants. Instead, Jesus said this in John, I call you my friend. Now, to me, that's hard to wrap my mind around. Because I told you in my prayer time, I kind of alluded to this, but there's no way, no way on earth I could take my cell phone out. I didn't put it on vibrate. That's good that nobody called me. But there's no way I could dial the White House and get President Obama on the phone. I couldn't get I couldn't get the former president on the phone. Maybe some of you could. I couldn't even get an old George H.W. Bush. I couldn't get him on the phone, and he's way retired, right? I couldn't get our governor on the phone, most senators, not. You know what? But God Almighty, if you think about that for a second, God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the seas, and everything around you, the God that's created this amazing weather today, the God that makes the grass grow, the God that set the stars in the sky and makes them orbit in just a certain way, that God, if you belong to Him, calls you His friend. You don't need a phone to talk to Him. You don't need to put money in a payphone. I don't even know if they exist anymore. You don't have to go find the right line. You just got to call, lift your hand up. You just got to call out to Him. And it says in His Word, He will answer you because He loves you. And that's what's missing in many of our lives, that third person. And I'm not trying to say God is a third person. We're missing that relationship with the great I Am. We're missing that relationship with God Almighty. And that's what's missing, because when things start to happen in our life, many people, that's not a relationship they've invested in. Many times when things begin to happen in our life, we get a bad report from the doctor, and we don't know who to turn to. That's a question I get all the time. Where do I turn to now? Something happens with our children, our grandchildren. Something happens with our marriage. Our best friend turns against us, because that happens, doesn't it? And we say, what do we do now? There's a relationship. I challenge many of you here. You haven't invested in the most important relationship of all. Your best friend will speak the truth to you, and he'll tell you this. Your friend will tell you, if you have a real friend and they see you going down the wrong road, they'll stop you. You're blind headed toward the Grand Canyon, they'll stop you and say you're about to go off the cliff. You don't care about that person, they'll just let you keep walking, right? But a real friend will stop you. A real friend will go, hey, you need to invest in another relationship. You need to put some time into another relationship. God wants to be your friend. He wants you to get to know Him better. He wants to get to know you better. And that's a really weird statement, because if God is God, He already knows everything about you. But you know what? He wants you to have such a relationship that you will tell Him all of that stuff. He already knows it all, but you can share. You can feel in your spirit that you're free to give all of that over. And it says in His Bible, it says in this book, that He cares about every one of your needs. There's not a hair on your head. Now, that's easier for some than others. But there's not a hair on your head God doesn't care about. There's not a situation in your life that God isn't concerned about. And listen, how do you begin that investment? How do you begin that investment with the Lord? The Bible tells us, first of all, we have to, you know, if you have Chris and I are good friends, and let's say something came into our relationship. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I do something dumb. It's been known to happen. And I call Chris a bad name, or he overhears me saying something about him, or I just do something dumb. What do I have to do if I've hurt Chris? I have to go to him. I have to say, Chris, I can't say, Chris, you know, I know that I did that, but, you know, you really... I have to take responsibility for what I've done, don't I? And did you know that we've all offended God? Did you know that? And that's what's wrong with our relationship with God. It's not that God doesn't want us to come back. It's that we don't go back because we've offended God. How have we offended God? The Bible tells us that we've lied. God's law says, His Word says, don't lie. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not lie, bear false witness. And how many of us, who could here say, don't raise your hands because we're all guilty, right? Who could say we've never lied, right? And if you're honest with yourself, we've all stolen, right? Even if it was a nickel. Some people say they've never stolen, but they just admitted they were liars. I don't know about that, but, you know, whatever. So we'll give you that one if you need it, because there's lots more. If you look at someone with lust, it's the same as committing adultery in your heart, the Bible says. The one that got me the worst was I didn't think I had murdered anybody, right? But if you have hatred in your heart, if you have anger without cause, Jesus said it's the same as murder. I don't understand all of that. That's what He says, and He's judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging that. That's what He says. We've used God's name as a curse word. That's called blasphemy. Even if you haven't done that, if you fail to give God's name the proper respect and honor, it's the same as blasphemy. There's no way out of this stuff, right? And God does that to us because He's a friend and He'll speak the truth to us. He'll love us enough to say, hey, Martin, that's what's wrong between us. You're not obeying. You're not looking into this book. You're not trusting me. How many of you friends, how could you have a real friend if you don't trust each other? And that's the deal with the Word of God. That's the deal with God. Many times, we're not intimate with God. We're not tight with God. We're not best friends with God because we don't trust Him. This book says, don't lie, don't steal. The wages of sin is death, and that's sin. And it separates us from God. But God wanted that relationship so much reestablished with you that He died on the cross Himself to pay the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to pay. Well, I broke the law. Jesus paid my fine. That's as simple as that. And give God praise for that. Amen? And that's where that relationship starts. If you're not tight with God, if He's not your best friend, look, He hasn't done anything against you. You may think He has. Let me tell you what, He's perfect. And what you got to do is you got to go back to God and you got to admit your sin. Don't say but. Don't say maybe. Just say and. I messed up. I lied. I did all this stuff. Bow your heads and close and say, and I deserved all that all that happened. I'm not trying to get out of any of that. But your word says that Jesus paid for my fine, and I believe that. And I also says in 1 John 1:9 that if I confess this stuff, God, I don't fully understand it. You can be really honest with God. He already knows. You could say, your word says you'll forgive me. Let me tell you what, only someone in authority can forgive you. You ever notice that? A judge can forgive, a governor can provide clemency, a president. But God is above all of that. And no matter what you've done in your life, it doesn't matter how many times you've stolen. It doesn't matter how many times you've used His name as a curse word. It doesn't matter how many times you've looked at someone else with lust or had sexual relations. None of that matters. Because He's above all of that and can forgive all of it. There's not a sin, a crime, that God Almighty cannot forgive. And He loves to forgive. That's the amazing thing about God. You might wait, I've gone too far. Listen, if you still have air in your lungs, You're still breathing. There's still hope. You can ask and God will forgive you, I promise. And the greatest friend that you can ever have, the greatest investment you can ever make, yes, you need other people, encouragement, strength, help, all of that, but the greatest friend you'll ever be able to invest in is your time with God. This is a holy Bible. These are His instructions. It doesn't have to make sense. We receive it by faith. I don't understand everything and I preach this stuff, right? So I'm not asking for understanding. I'm saying, God, I believe what You say. Teach me Your Word. Help me understand it. Help me put my faith in it. You can even say, God, I don't have faith. I need more faith. And He'll give you that. He'll answer that prayer. Just give it to Him. I'm not going to lead us in a sinner's prayer today. I'm not going to tell you how to confess your sin. All I'm going to do is say, get real with God. Read the Bible. Do what it says. Go home. Eat some meal for your first. Then go home. Right? And get on your bed. Get on your knees somewhere. And just say, God, I don't know about all this stuff. Be really honest with Him. Say, but if what that pastor said is true, and you can be honest. I don't even know if it is. Maybe he's a lunatic. But show me. If what he says is true, show me. Help me learn to put faith in you. Help me confess my sins. I don't even remember all my sins. Help me. And let me tell you what. You will find your best friend. God will come to you. The story of the prodigal son, the father got up and ran to his son as his son started to come back. You take one step to God and He takes all the rest to you. He is there waiting and ready to meet you. Not halfway, all the way. All you got to do is say, God, I need You. The finger in the door prayer, as my good friend here says, Lord, help me. And He'll meet you all the rest of the way. Stand up with us. Praise the Lord. Father, today we honor You. We honor You. We rejoice in You. You are our God and we are Your people. And we delight in knowing that our best friend can be, literally, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can be our best friend. And I pray today that You would help us not only invest in friendships with each other. They're so important, Lord. But I pray today that You would help us hold up the best friend that we could ever have. That You would help us be tight with God Almighty. That You would fill us with Your Spirit and with Your presence and help us walk in that truth. There's some people here today that don't know Jesus in that relationship. And today, God, I pray that as they ponder these words, that, Lord, it wouldn't be an emotional ploy and a service music playing and come forward and say this prayer, that it would not be that at all. That, Lord, it would be a life change forever and ever because You've changed their hearts. Because You've taken their lives just as they are. And I forgot to tell you, church, but you don't have to have it all cleaned up. That, God, they will just come to You as they are. With their sin, their muck, their dirtiness, their resentment, everything, God, they'll just come to You and You'll forgive them. You'll help them, Lord, right where they are. So, Lord, do that in us. As people go home and start to ponder that and they think about it and maybe a few get on their knees tonight and ask You, Lord, forgive me, Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would move into their life and show them just how much You love them. Open their hearts to You. Open their minds to You. Fill them with Your Spirit and Your power. Let them see that they need You, Lord. Let them invest in that relationship by reading Your Word and continuing a dialogue with You, Lord. Let them listen to what You have to say. And Lord, let them speak their heart to You. And honor that, Lord, in the name of Jesus.